First Peter chapter 2, verses 1 through, let's look at 5. And Peter's speaking. He says, wherefore, laying aside all malice and all guile and hypocrisies and envies and all evil speaking, as newborn babes desire the sincere milk of the word, that ye may grow thereby. And if so be you have tasted that the Lord is gracious, to whom coming as unto a living stone, disallowed indeed of man, but chosen of God and precious. Ye also, as lively stones, are built up a spiritual house and holy priesthood, to offer up spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God by Jesus Christ. Precious Lord, thank you for the word of God. Thank you for the power that's found in God's word. Thank you for the milk of the word. Let us take it in like a newborn baby and grow and strong, and hopefully get off the milk and get on to the meat of the menu. Father, thank you for these folks that have come out. And we ask that you be with us as we lift up Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. 2 weeks ago, I started a new series, and last week I preached a message out of the series, just talking about our past as we celebrated Black History Month. But I've been talking about before, I've talked about a series on the Word of God, just on the Word of God, just preaching on the Word of God. And if you remember, I used James chapter 1 verse 18 when I talked about of his own will he begot us with the word of truth, that we should be a kind of first fruits of his creatures. First fruits mean the very, very best. God wants us as believers to be the very best. Amen. We live in a world where you know, I watch the NFL compound and everybody wants to be the very best. And you watch the Oscars and the Emmys and everybody want an Oscar. Everybody want an Emmy. Everybody want to be the very best at what they do. When we get to church, we ought to want to be. We ought to want to be the very best. Well, nobody in here want to be a second-class Christian. Third-class Christian. Well, I mean, we rate everything. We ought to want an Emmy. We ought to want an Oscar for our service to the Lord. Not acted. How about that? Amen. So when I talked about it, and I used another verse about the Word of God. And James on him said, we are begotten. He has begot us. How? By the Word of God. You hear the Word of God, you are born again. You can't be born again without hearing the Word of God. Okay? You can't be praise dance to salvation. Okay? And there's some good posts out there. I'm sure there's some good praise dancers and some folks like that. But to be born again, you have to hear the word of God, because without faith, you can't be born again. And the Bible said without faith, it's impossible to please God. And somebody said, well, Pastor, how do I get that faith? Faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. So you got to hear the word of God. And then you got to say, God, give me the faith to believe that, because that ain't what I'm hearing every day. Okay, I'm not hearing about a virgin having a baby born by the Holy Spirit that lived a sinless life, that died on Calvary's cross, and was buried and rose again. That's all hard to believe. No, that ain't hard to believe. That's impossible to believe. Amen. That's not hard to believe. That's impossible to believe. Okay? It's impossible on our own strength, on our own thought process. How can somebody believe that? Well, you ask, give me the faith to believe that, because I'm watching folks that believe that, and it seems like you work it in their lives. Seems like they got something special. And we ought to, as Christians, we ought to have something that the world wants. But we sort of got it reversed, and it's almost like the world has something that the church wants. That's to me, that's backwards theology. The world ought to want what we have. The world ought to look at us and see how we deal with adversity and trials and tribulations. Say, I need that. I need that. I need what he got. Or I need what she got. How did she get through that? Or how did he get through that? Whatever vehicle he used to get through that, I need some of that. I need some of that. So let's look at our text today. Because we're going to talk about the Word of God. Last week we were born by the Word of God. Now we ought to grow in this thing. We ought to be in the growing process. We ought to grow. We ought to grow. How many of y'all seen Jake on TV yesterday talking about the fire over in Camel? And he was up. He was just so articulate. I was praying that he didn't say something crazy like he was preaching or something. I'm like, come on, Jake, get through this. You know, the microphone's dangerous. He got through it pretty good. I talked to him after church. But how long he been doing that? How long you been a fireman now? 2 years. 2 years. So honestly, because I've been knowing him a long time, 4 years he wasn't thinking about being a fireman. 4 years ago, he wasn't thinking about it. It was the furthest thing from his mind that one day I'm going to be putting out fires. Okay? But what happened? What was the process that went through that? Okay, he had accepted it. Now he had to grow. He had to learn. He had to go to classes. He had to be taught. He had to go to training. He had all these things that were part of that. Okay, they just didn't put a mic in front of him yesterday. There was a process, and God is saying there's a process involved if you want to be great for God. If you want to grow in the Word, there's a process that takes place. And in that process, sometimes you got to put away some stuff. Okay? Look what Peter says. You want to be great? Here's what he says. Wherefore, laying aside all malice and all guile and all hypocrisies and envies and all evil speaking. Now, what's he saying? Lay aside everything that's counter to God. Lay aside everything that's counter to God. Everything that would fight against God. Lay it aside. How about that? Lay it aside. What's that mean? Get rid of it. You got to move on from some stuff. See, some of us can't be great. I talk to athletes, and the great ones, a lot of the great ones, they concentrate on one. See, you can go to high school, and they'll have you on the soccer team, the basketball team, the football team, the baseball team. They'll have you on every team because you're a good athlete. But some of the good ones concentrate on one thing. Now, I say this to you. I got young Justin here. Hey, get to growing. You want to be a man of God. I want to be faithful to God. I want to be a man of God. It's hard to be faithful to God without a relationship. Okay. You got to grow. And now Peter's saying, now he's saying, he said, they're going to lay aside all this stuff. And I'm not going to go into malice, and I'm not going to go into guile, but we know what guile is. Trickery. Hypocrisies is saying one thing and doing another. As we said this morning in Sunday school, talking right and walking left. Okay? Envies, just, you know, and this is going on in the church. Peter's not talking to the world. Okay? Let me say that again. He's not talking to the club. He's talking to what goes on in the church. There's some malice, there's some guile, there's some hypocrisy, there's some envying going on, and there's some, God forbid, evil speaking. But think about this. It's verse number 2 is really where I want to concentrate on. Peter says, it's good to see some newborn babes in here. Amen. Okay? Does that one know that one back there with Cindy? When he get hungry, he just started screaming. Screaming top of his lung. I'm like, man. And take down a whole bottle in about 90 seconds. Take Maya 2 days to take down a whole one. And he take it down. I mean, whoop, whoop, whoop. It's like putting oil in a car. You see the can just going back and forth. Okay? But that's a great illustration because as newborn babes, Paul says, as newborn babes, we ought to have that desire. Amen. Somebody else say, where did my desire go? Where did my desire go? Let me tell you something. If that desire don't come, you might not say, might not have what you think you have. Because the desires have to be there. Because Peter said, as newborn babes, desire the milk of the word of God. Desire the sincere milk of the word. That's key word. Sincere. Sincere, that word is a Latin word, mean sincerity, mean without cracks. You know, we can desire some wrong stuff. And there's a whole lot of preachers out there preaching wrong stuff because they know that's really what their congregation desire. Amen. The sincere milk they don't want to hear. Because some of them lie, hey, listen, you're getting too sincere, preacher. Okay? Sincere milk of the word. Let me stay here. That ye may grow. I use Jake as an illustration. Hopefully in 5 years from now, I'll have Justin as an illustration. But we'll remember the first time he came up and we asked him to lead the church in prayer. And he stumbled and bumbled and he was a little intimidated. He's like, who, me? I said, let Justin pray. And he said, who, me? I'm like, there's only one Justin up there. But he prayed. And then hopefully and prayerfully, and if we keep working him and feeding him and being great models and examples before him, he'll stand up there and he'll lead the prayer. Be like his granddaddy.
Amen.
And pray. And then wouldn't have to ask him. Listen, ain't nobody praying but me today. With a tube in my back, running up in my kidney, running down my leg. Just had a blood transfusion. I know I'm on my way home and I'm real close, but I'm still going to pray. And you know, some real truth come out of he who endures to the end shall be saved. Got it modeled in front of us, and we've had it modeled in front of us several times with several of our members here who have fought the good fight of faith and have endured to the end. Praise God all the way.
Amen.
To the end. You guys don't know how blessed you are to see some of the examples. I'm not going to start naming them. You guys know them. Watch them. Paul writing to the church then he says in Romans 6:1, what shall we say then? Shall we continue in sin that grace may abound? God forbid. Paul said, God forbid. How shall we that are dead to sin live any longer therein? Know ye not that so many of us as we're baptized into Jesus Christ, we're baptized into his death. What's Paul saying? You got to live a different life. You got that word in you. You got the Holy Spirit in you. You got that word in you. It demands that we live differently. The Holy Spirit is demanding. When you had the word of God, you've been born again. That life that you used to have is not your own no more. It's not yours no more. Amen. You done gave it up. You're not doing what you want to do. I remember I told you the story of A.W. Tozier. He's talking about the man of God. And he said, well, you know, I got the Holy Spirit. He said, well, God, and God is my co-pilot. No, God's not your co-pilot.
Amen.
God's not your co-pilot. God is the pilot. A.W. Tozier said, God is the pilot. And you in the trunk. Okay? And wherever God take you, you go. And wherever he drop you off, that's where he needs you to be. You lose all authority and all you're not the shot maker no more. God calling the shots. Amen. When you accept Jesus Christ. Okay? I didn't have a choice. I didn't have a choice. Well, you know what? I couldn't tell Cindy. Well, you know, I'm gonna take a Sunday off. I'm gonna take a day off today. You ain't got no days off. See? Watch this. Mark chapter 10. So good to see young people in the church. Because they ought to be in a church. Okay? And Mark 10:13 says, and they brought young children to him, to Jesus, that he should touch them. That he should touch them. Jesus wanted to touch these kids. He wants to touch our children. He wants to touch them. And some of us, like the disciples, and watch what the disciples do, because Jesus said that he should touch them. And his disciples rebuked those that brought them. The disciples said, listen, send them kids to children's church. Sit down in the basement and let them watch VeggieTales and let them watch Baby Shark Goes to Heaven. See, we want to usher our children out of the presence of God. Jesus wants to touch them kids. He wants to touch them, and our kids ain't being touched. Our kids ain't being touched. Now, they ought to sit in the sanctuary. Amen. And they ought to see the parents' reverence for God. And when they see the parents' seriousness about listening and paying attention, not sitting back, nodding, playing on the phone, then they'll have a reverence when they get older. But we send them to children's Amen. Church. Amen. And see the end result of that? Because I didn't go to children's church. I was like Ann with her kids. You sit there, and back then the parents would bring a spatula to church. Rita, you remember them days? Like, how are we going to make pancakes? You got the spatula up in church. Wouldn't say a word. And then they just look at you. The first thing they look at you, you knew what the look meant. Then you kept on going, okay. Yeah, y'all know what I'm talking about. Okay, listen. And when Jesus saw it, he saw they wouldn't bring their kids up. Disciples, get them kids to children's church. Listen, and Jesus saw it. Watch what he says. I'm in Mark 10:14. He was much displeased. And said unto them, suffer the little children to come unto me. Suffer them to come. Take them phones away from them for a little while. Let them suffer without them phones and tablets up in church. Just for an hour. Let them suffer. Let them, and when you let them, when you're making them suffer, they know the seriousness of this thing.
Amen.
Let them suffer. Oh, that's suffering too, ain't it? Some of y'all can't go an hour without your phone. An hour? Mommy, I mean, you gonna make me suffer? I might die if I don't be on the phone for a whole hour. I'm just reading the scripture. I'm just suffer the little children to come unto me and forbid them not. They don't have a choice in the matter. I'm tired this morning. No, you ain't tired. I'm suffering you to come to church. Well, you know, they was out last night. They was at the mall. We walked a long time, and they was at the circus. Listen, it's Sunday morning. Amen. Okay? It's rise and shine. Everybody in here going to church. Okay? Suffer the little children to come unto me and forbid them not. What's he saying? Now watch this. Now stay with me, because this thing is opening up to me. And forbid them not. What's he talking about? Forbid them not. Don't stop them from coming. Because when you stop them from coming to church, you put them on a path to hell.
Amen.
Okay? And I don't care what these preachers are saying. I don't listen to them. I won't even sit in the pulpit at a funeral no more. Amen. I want to hear that junk.
Amen.
Everybody dying ain't automatically get a ticket to heaven.
That's right.
And if you forbid them not, watch this now, for of such is the kingdom of God. Forbid your children, because the children don't get it young, it's going to be hard for them to get it old, and it's going to be almost impossible for them to go to heaven. I don't care what Reverend whatever said. Because everybody dying ain't in a better place now.
Amen.
Okay? Let's keep going. Listen. We not only saved by the word, we are born again of the word, but we have to grow in the word. Listen, here's an illustration. The word is like a seed. The word is a seed, and that seed is always seeking what? Good ground. You'd be crazy to take your good seeds, and just throw them out on that grass out there. They may grow. One or two of them may grow, but that grass gonna do what? It's going to choke them out. It's going to strangle them. And the birds going to come and get them. The seed is looking for good ground. Good ground. And when you keep your children and you keep yourself in a church where the word of God is being preached dogmatically and fervently and effectually, listen, you got an opportunity to grow, because you know, that word going to weed out all that mess. You keep standing under the word, it's going to weed your life. Weed your life. Pretty soon you're going to be good ground. You're going to be good ground. But Jesus used that. He used that, the parable. A parable, a story. He used the story. He looked outside. He was preaching. And he seen these farmlands. And it come to his mind. He said, he reads this parable. He says, hear ye therefore, Matthew 13, 18. Watch this out. Hear ye therefore the parable of the sower. And when one heareth the word of the kingdom and understandeth it not, then the wicked one cometh and catcheth away that which was sown in the heart. This is he which received the seed by the wayside. By the wayside. Hard-heartedness. I heard it, but I'm not working with that. But he that received the seed into stony places, the same heareth the word. Watch this now. And with joy receive it. Oh, that was a good word, preacher. But he's on stony ground. And that seed is underneath that seed, underneath that good soil is a bedrock. Okay? And that root, when it hits that rock, that's far as it can go. That rock represents a hard heart. That's far as I can go. I can't give you no more, Lord. Okay? Now watch what happens to that seed on hard ground. It's on hard ground. They ain't get no root system. Like going to Walmart, you see the flowers out there. They got to continue to water and water and water because they in that little cup. And if they don't take care of them, they're going to wither up and dry. Watch what happens. Yet he that have not a root in himself, but dureth for a while, for when tribulation or persecution arises because of the word. What's Jesus saying? Because this is Jesus saying. When persecution comes, okay? When tribulation comes because of the word, because of your walk with the Lord, you're going to offend some people. You're going to walk a certain way. You're going to walk a different way. And the folks around you are not going to be comfortable with you. And they're going to call you all kind of names. Well, you know, everybody getting high. Everybody doing this. Everybody doing that. Everybody going here. Everybody. What's wrong with you? You're lame. You're an L7. You're a square. You're a sucker. You this. You that. And if you're not rooted, guess what you're going to do? I have no understanding. With all the folks dying, drugs, and all the folks dying of alcohol and all this stuff, folks still starting for the first time. I never understand that. When we was coming up, we had a real popular guy on the north side. I'm not gonna name his name, but everybody knew him. And he did some battery acid. He just walked up and down the street, crazy out of his mind, waving. And you see folk walking and waving because they hear voices and they doing this. When you see them coming from Walmart, they walking, they're like, what you doing? You be like, look at that, brother. Because they hear voices, they try to tell them voices, leave me alone, leave me alone. And then voices are saying, run out in front of a car, run out, do something crazy. You're going to suffer. You're in a suffering business you signed up for. See, nobody going to tell you that. Nobody going to tell you the cost. Everybody going to tell you, come to Jesus and build the pews and tithe and give your offering. Nobody going to tell you the cost. See? Nobody going to tell you the cost. Certain cars you just don't buy used. There's certain cars you just don't buy used. You get on one of them websites and you see, this car don't buy used. That happened. They'll tell you, right? They don't buy this car used. Because you buy it used, the parts is high. It break down a lot. The parts is high. Oil changes is $100. Listen, go buy you a used BMW. If you please. And you better have some BMW money. Because every time you go to the shop, it's $1,000. Tires cost $1,000. Oil change cost $200-$300. No, man, they ain't telling you that. They say, man, this is a nice car, man. You get in there and smell good. They sprayed the smell good stuff in there, and they didn't clean it all up. Arm all the tire, you take it, and as soon as you get down the road, 200 miles, it's in the shop. And you go there, and, well, it's an oil change, but that's $250. So I'm going to tell you the cost. Okay? I want your soul to be changed. I'm not worried about filling up the church. I'll never preach to a full house. Let's God. I don't know. God had to do something. Okay? I ain't one of them full house preachers. Say anything for a paycheck. Listen. Let's talk about this third one. This third one. I think this is where a lot of the church is at. This third type of seed. He says this third seed. And some fell among thorns. Some fell among thorns. What's the danger of living around thorns if you are a tender plant? What happens to a plant when a thorn sticks into his side?
It dies.
So the thorn is, if the thorn don't kill you by sticking into your root system, it's going to choke you out. The world going to choke you out. You just so busy. You don't have time for Sunday school. You don't have time for Bible study. You don't have time to pray. You don't have time to visit nobody at the hospital. You don't have time to call nobody. You don't have time to text nobody. You just so busy. Busy. The acronym being under Satan's yoke. Satan wants you busy. If Satan can keep you too busy to study, too busy to pray, too busy to praise God, too busy for worship service, too busy for choir rehearsal, too busy. Listen, you're not no good. You no good. Satan know that. You no good. I'm just one of them kind of guys. You just no good. You ain't good for nothing. Look at this last fruit, this last soil. Talking about plant, ground. But he that receives the seed in the good ground is he that heareth the word. Watch this now. And understandeth it. This ground has is that God has given this type of believer the faith to understand. And why does he get this faith? Because he's pleaded with God for it. God, help me to understand this scripture. I want to apply it to my life. There's some scriptures that I battle with God to give me understanding of. People ask me all the time, well, if Lot, it's not Lot. Who's the other one? Cain and Abel. Where did Cain get a wife from? See? Stuff like that. If there's only two people on earth, where did Cain get a wife from? Now I know the answer. No, I'm not going to say it now. Because I don't want to go down that road. I'm trying to stay on task. But you get crazy questions. All the time you get crazy questions. People call me and give me crazy questions. They ask crazy questions. And you got to ask God, give me an understanding. What does this verse really mean? Is there only 144,000? Am I one of them? All that kind of stuff. He that heareth the word and understandeth it, which also bear fruit and bringeth forth some 100-fold, some 60, some 30. Listen, we ought to be fruit bearers. Our life ought to attract people to the Lord. Amen. Just our very life. We walk into a situation, walk into our job. People ought to be like, what's up with him? What's up with her?
Amen.
They don't talk like us. They don't dress like us. They don't laugh at the things we laugh at. Because we ought to be different. That's that good ground person. And believe me, folks will come to you. They may not come to you. They'll come to you like Nicodemus did at night. And what you got going on? I need that. The word of God ought to be declared publicly. I said this over and over and over. Most of your preaching ought to be just reading the scripture. We do a lot of talking. But you ought to be reading the scriptures, explain a little bit, and move to the next scripture. read it, explain it a little bit, move to the next scripture to be read publicly. They did it in the Old Testament. They did it in the New Testament. Watch this verse here. I got it all highlighted up. It's in Deuteronomy 31 and 12. And this is what they did in the Old Testament. Okay? Now watch when they talk about children. They didn't have children in church in the Old Testament. Okay? When Jesus fed the 5,000 and the might have been 20,000, he didn't tell them, well, you know, take the children, all right? No, he fed them all. He said, gather the people together, Deuteronomy 31, 13. Gather the people together, men, women, and children. And thy stranger that is within the gates. That might have been a non-Jew or non-Israelite. They had a responsibility. Everybody that was within them should hear the word of God. That they may hear. Deuteronomy 30:31. That they may hear. And that they may learn. And fear the Lord your God and observe to do all the words of this law. That's really interesting. What was they coming to hear? What did they come to church for? What was the word of God supposed to do? It hasn't changed. People need to hear it. It needs to be declared. Thus say the Lord, that they may learn and fear the Lord, reverence for the Lord, reverence for the things of God. When you walk out of here and you going somewhere, you in a situation where you know your relationship with God don't approve of it. That's what it means. You got the reverence for God. Everywhere you go, you're thinking about, what would God do? What would God think about if I did this? What would God think about if I went there? What would God think about if I said this? That's just a reverence for God that's really in your heart. It's in your heart. It's in your heart. That's a heart relationship with God. You have to ask yourself, do I have a heart relationship with God? Is God in my heart? Is there a fear of God resonate in my heart? In my heart. There's so many scriptures that I have on publicly declaring the word of God publicly. Paul did it. I'm going to give you one for the Old Testament, one for the New Testament. Paul did it in Acts 13. Watch this. This is such a wonderful verse because this is what we do. People say, what do you do? What do you do at your church? You ought to be proud to say, man, just sit up there and just pound the scriptures. But that's all they did. They preached it and explained it and moved on. And after Acts 13, 15, and after reading the law and the prophets, the rulers of the synagogues sent unto them saying, ye men and brethren, if you have any word of exhortation for the people, say on. Say on. If you've heard the word of God read, now explain it to the people. Tell them what it means. Tell them what it means. Tell them how to make application of that word. This is what the word of God is designed to do. So we can take it and then apply it to our lives. And then when we get into a situation, we've been talking to somebody. How many times have you had a conversation with somebody? I know Ann does it all the time. There's stuff come up out of you. That's what Paul means. He said, let the word of God dwell in you. How? Richly. So when situations come up and things happen, you got some word in you to defend you. That word is designed to defend you. It's designed to fight for you. It's designed to battle for you. Let me give you this one. This was so fascinating when I read it. I'm in Nehemiah. Nehemiah was a warrior preacher. Y'all wouldn't want to be in me and Nehemiah's church. Y'all think I can be bad. Nehemiah was beating people up. Okay, they didn't want to do right. Nehemiah whooped them. He was. You know, I say it all the time. Y'all hear me say it all the time. Columbus, you hear me say it all the time. God ain't never used no chump. God ain't never used no coward to do his work. You, man or woman. Amen. Man or woman. You can't find one in the Bible that God used that was weak and cowardly. Mary wasn't. Rahab wasn't. Ruth wasn't. Naomi wasn't. I just give you women. Joshua, Caleb, Moses, Abraham. All of them. Think about it. You know, your hero ought not be LeBron James and Kevin Durant and all them guys. Your heroes ought to be Joshua, Caleb, Moses.
Amen.
That's who our children growing up with all these men. Our heroes. I want to be a hero. Joshua, one of my heroes. That's why I call him Joshy. That's one of my heroes. You got a heroic name.
Amen.
Justin, a heroic name. I don't know who named y'all, but they good job with that. Nehemiah 8. Look at Nehemiah 8. Watch this fascinating verse. Watch this fascinating verse. This is good. And all the people gathered together as one. As one. Oh, and all the people gathered themselves together as one man into the street that was before the water gate. I preached on these. And they spake unto Ezra and the scribe to bring the book of the law of Moses, which the Lord had commanded to Israel. Bring the book. Don't bring no junk. Bring the book. And these people gathered together. They ain't want no junk. They want all that mess going on. They said, hey, bring the book. And Ezra the priest brought the law before the congregation, both men and women, and all that could hear with understanding. Upon the first day of the seventh month. Now watch this now. And he read therein before the street that was before the water gate from the morning until midday. And I'm talking 6 o'clock. Okay? 6 o'clock, midday will be what, 3? Oh, y'all think I'm gone. And they wasn't in no air conditioned church. They was out there in that heat from morning until midday before the men and the women and those that could understand and the ears of all the people were attentive unto the book of the law. They was attentive. What was they doing? They was just reading. See? And watch. And Ezra the scribe stood upon a pulpit of wood which they had made for the purpose. And beside him, all right now, y'all stay with me. And beside him stood. I'm going to read them fast. I tell y'all, when you can't pronounce, just read them fast. Keep on going. Act like you know what you're talking about. But what I mean by beside him was some mighty men. Some mighty men. They were some mighty men. I guarantee they all had concealed carry. we play church. And Ezra wasn't playing. They were serious about the things of God. And Ezra the scribe stood upon a pulpit of wood, which they had made for the purpose, and beside him stood Matthaniah, Shema, Ananiah, Uriah, Hilkiah, and Messiah on his right hand. And on his left hand, Padaiah, Meshach, Malcolm, Hashem, Hazadabdai, Zechariah, and Meshulam. He surrounded himself with the men of God. And you know what their job was? When he preached, they would go out among people and explain the scriptures. Explain what they meant. Hearing and nothing, you don't understand what it said. See, Bible said, don't just be hearers only. But you can't do what you don't know. Now, when we talk to our kids, you ever talk to your kids, you ever say, you understand what I'm saying, boy? You understand what I'm saying? You tell them 3 or 4 times, you looking at you like, I don't understand what you're saying. Do you understand what I'm saying? And my father, after the second understand what I'm saying, he slapped me in the head. I said, I understand. I really didn't understand, but I understand that slap meant to say I understand. I understand now. Still go out there and mess it up. You didn't understand what I was saying, did you? No, not really. And listen. And Ezra opened the book in the sight of all the people. And for he was above all the people, and when he opened it, all the people stood up.
Amen.
Come on, man. It ain't nothing changed. When he opened the book, all the people stood up. Well, you know, my back hurt. Oh, I got a bad leg. Oh, no. Listen. That's why he had them powerful men beside him. Somebody ain't standing? Okay, why aren't you standing? You see them coming, they stand. See, we got some folks don't stand. I ain't standing. You know. And Ezra blessed the Lord. Come on now. See, the preaching really ain't for you. Because if the preacher don't bless the Lord first, it definitely ain't going to bless you.
Amen.
See, Ezra, he wasn't worried about pleasing people.
Amen.
He was worried about blessing the Lord. He wanted his message to bless the Lord.
Amen. Yeah.
See, we want message to bless us. Well, I ain't getting nothing out of that. Nah, man. He must have been tired today. He must have didn't study. The message ain't for you. The message is for the Lord. You'll get something if the Lord gets something. If the Lord don't get nothing, you right. Let me read verse 6 again. I hope y'all getting this. And Ezra blessed the Lord, the great God. Just in case you thought he was talking about some idol or some fake God. Because see, only a fake God will listen to a fake message. God want to hear his word preached and his word declared, and he want to hear it prayed, and he want to hear it sang. He don't want all junk.
Amen.
See, we offering up a whole lot of junk, and we calling it blessings. God said, listen, watch Ezra, the priest. He said, and Ezra, bless the Lord. How's that song go? Bless the Lord. All my soul and all that is within me, I will bless his holy name. But that's hard to do when you surrounded by unholy folks. See, Ezra surrounded himself with powerful men of God. See, these preachers surround himself with, and bless the Lord. Ezra blessed the Lord. See, folks, let me tell you something. Certain folks ain't going to hang around preachers that's blessed the Lord.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? You know, all you got to do is preach the word and you'll have all the people God wants you to have.
Amen.
Okay? That's why I don't come in here and say, man, you preach hard to have only, they tell me, oh, you got 9 members, the 13 members. I tell them, I always tell them, I say, how many? They say, how many members you got? I say, I got 9. Everybody asks me, that's first thing. How many members you got? I say, I got 9. I got one more to know. And he was a preacher of righteousness.
Amen.
Oh, they'd be like, oh man, you just listen. And Ezra blessed the Lord, the great God. And all the people answered, watch this now, amen, amen, with lifting up their heads, and they bowed their heads and worshiped the Lord with their faces to the ground. Oh, I like that.
Amen.
Come on now. Stay with me here. Here's Colossians. The word of God needs to be declared. Here's the word of God being declared. Now then we know Laodicea. Laodicea was the lukewarm church. And Paul said, and Jesus said to this church in Revelation 3:15, he said, listen, I'd rather you be cold or hot. Okay? Cold or hot. And if you know me, I like ice and everything. If I'm drinking something cold, I want it real cold. I want it cold. I buy thermoses that guarantee that the ice won't melt for 2 days. Because if I'm drinking cold, I want cold. Okay? I don't want no warm coffee. I don't want no lukewarm coffee. I want it hot. Okay? I want to sip it. I want it to burn my lip a little bit. Hey, come on, man. Listen. I love them babies. I love my baby. I love Maya.
But all that puking.
When she get the puking, I get the moving her. I get the, like, get on. Here, Cindy. Here, Karina. Take this puking baby. See? Poor Maya, she probably like, oh Lord, I don't even understand yet. Yeah, you're gonna have a lot of your name mentioned. That's Ray. Listen. Let me. I gotta go there. Revelation 3:15, because this is so beautiful. Revelation 3:15. Stay with me. In all my craziness, stay with me. And unto the angel of the church of Laodicea, Revelation 3:14. Write these things. Say the amen. How about that? The faithful and true witness, the beginning of the creation of God. I know thy works. Okay? This is one of them hot churches. This is one of them churches where they got buses and they doing all this stuff. They ain't got it going on. From the outside looking in, they got it going on. Okay? They got the band. They got the TVs all over. Listen, this is a wonderful church. Watch what God says. He said, I know thy works, that thou art neither cold nor hot. I would thou were cold or hot. Okay? Listen, you go to the Dairy Queen and you taking that ice cream home, the last thing you want to happen is you get slowed down in traffic. Because you want that ice cream cold when you get home. And you want to get your house shoes off and get on the couch and you just want to chill with your ice cream.
Unless you like sitting and put it in the microwave.
Me sitting there and Raven trying to figure that out for like forever. She put her ice cream in the microwave. So she's a different breed. She's undifferent when it comes to ice cream. Okay? So I know thy works. Thou art neither cold nor hot. I wish, that's what he said, I wish thou were cold or hot. So then because thou art lukewarm and neither cold nor hot, I will spew thee out of my mouth. Listen, Paul knew that. And when he wrote Colossians 4:16, watch what he's saying. Because God has a cure to a lukewarm church. God has no church supposed to be lukewarm. It ought to be hot. It ought to be hot, and in the summertime we want it cold. We want the air running. In the summertime we want the heat on in the winter. But we don't want to be lukewarm. And when this epistle was read, Colossians 3:14, among you, cause that it be read also in the church of Laodiceas. Huh? And that ye likewise read the epistle from Laodicea. What's Paul saying? It's a lukewarm church. Heat it up a little bit. Heat it up a little bit. Church ought to be heated up. Let me give you one more verse. I'm going to be done. Oh yeah, I'm going to be done. The word of God is designed to cleanse us. To cleanse us. To cleanse. How many here ever want to be cleansed? Remember when Jesus met them lepers? And they was crying with a loud voice. They was crying. They was like, touch us if you still will. Heal us. And then there's a story where ten of them was healed. And only one came back. And that one that came back not only was healed, but he was cleansed. He was cleansed. And when Paul's saying here, he's saying, listen, David is saying here, you want to get cleansed? We want our young people cleansed. See, we can sit here and have pep rallies, and we can do all this stuff that I see people doing in the world, and they try to get these young people. They have a young man's rally over here, inciting young people. They got a young man marching for violence and all. Listen. There's only one way for a young man to get cleansed. Amen. There's only one way we're going to turn these young people around, turn them away from violence and hatred and killing each other and gang. There ain't but one way. There ain't no two ways. You can sit there and talk to them. I got motivational speakers coming in, and you can have Jim Brown talk to them. You can have LeBron come down, open up the school, and you can do all that stuff. But there's still only one way that a young man going to be cleansed. And y'all know it now. I done gave it away. Wherewithal shall a young man cleanse his way? By taking heed thereto according to thy word. to thy words. So you can go to the pep rallies and you can go to see, you can go see, you know, Steph Curry in town, gonna talk to the young. Let me tell you something. If he ain't bringing the word, he ain't bringing the word, he ain't bringing nothing. Okay? You might kill somebody on the way home from one of the motivational speakers. When I'm a man of God, ain't no motivational speaker. I'm not a motivational speaker. Okay? Psalms 25 and 7. Remember not the sins of my youth. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Everybody should have said amen. I'm the only one. I'm the only one. Let me say that again. Remember not the sins of my youth. Amen. Jeremy, I'm going to say it again. Just for you. Nobody said that with Jeremy.
Amen.
Remember not the sins of my youth.
Amen.
Nor my transgressions. Or my middle age. Huh? See, I knew that was coming. I knew that was coming. There was somebody that said, I don't even remember the ones last week.
Right.
Remember not the sins of my youth, nor my transgressions. According to thy mercy, remember thou me for thy goodness sake. Come on now.
All right, amen.
Oh, listen. Here's David. David, a man after God's own heart. Mm-hmm. David didn't murder people. He was a womanizer. He was an adulterer. But he was a man after God's own heart. And he knew a God of mercy. He knew that he knew that his God that he served, that was in the stone, that was in the stone that hit Goliath in the head. David never took credit for that. He never got upset when Goliath called him out his name. When Goliath said, I curse you by the God of Israel.
Amen.
Oh, you know, you brought the best out of David because David didn't care. See, David didn't walk around with his feelings on his sleeves and all that. But when he cursed God,
amen,
the God of Israel, whom I serve, who is this uncircumcised Philistine?
Amen.
Oh, David got heated up. David got heated up. And he said, God, you got to be in this rock. This is a big boy. He's bigger than the bear that I killed him. Bigger than the lion. But David slung that stone, hit the Goliath dead in the forehead, and dropped him. And then used his sword to cut off Goliath's head. What a mighty God we serve. But what makes him mighty? What makes him mighty is his grace and his mercy. Because David said, according to thy mercy, remember me. Remember me. Mercy, God, not God, don't give me what I deserve.
Amen.
I know I committed wrong. I know I shouldn't have had Uriah sent to the fire, into the fire and die. I know I shouldn't have messed with his wife. I knew that was his wife. I knew I shouldn't have committed adultery. I knew. But we could go to God the same way. Remember not the sins of my youth, nor my transgressions, according to thy mercy. God is a God of mercy. God is a God of mercy. He is a God of mercy. Somebody say, hey, the throne. He got a room called the throne room of mercy.
Amen.
The throne room of mercy. Precious Lord, we thank you this morning. We thank you for the word of God. We thank you, Father God. We want to be great. We want to be great. I have no reservation. I want to be the greatest preacher you want me to be. And I want these folks to grow. I want them to learn. I want them to understand the scriptures. I want them to walk boldly and mightily in the world, knowing that their God is an awesome God. And he lives forever. He lives. I just want them to be mighty in the Lord.
Yes, Lord.
We got young folks that mighty in everything, but weak when it comes to serving God. Oh, they can dunk a basketball in the eighth grade now. They're teaching to dunk some Bible verses. Keep them, Father God, and strengthen them. Make them mighty for you. Make them mighty for you. For we know you can do all things but fail. Father, thank you for everything. Thank you for folks that are here. Father God, we ask that you would just touch them. Bless them in a mighty way. Are you a good God? And we pray in Jesus' name.